It's time now for the Border News Roundup Friday mornings. We get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. He's the editor and publisher of the Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, good to talk to you again.
Oh, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's start off with an update on the Tower City Council. Dramatic. Lots of things going on there, right?
Contentious, yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of become the local soap opera up here. For a number of years, we were writing and talking on KAXE, in fact, about Greenwood Township and some of their travails, and it just seems like it's all shifted over to the city of Tower now. There have been a lot of issues over the last year or two, but things really have escalated since the election of a new mayor and two new council people. The outcome of that election did not please certain people who had been kind of running things, the city of Tower, and they have reacted in pretty aggressive ways to try to kind of hamstring the new mayor in particular. And they had actually, at the last council meeting, had gotten approved on a very narrow vote doing an investigation into an allegation against the new mayor, which was really, there was very little substance to the allegation. And since then, they found that they had hoped to use somebody from the League of Minnesota Cities to do that investigation. In the end, it turned out that the League doesn't do those kinds of things. And so they ended up opting to allow the mayor to just provide some written answers to some of the questions that have been raised. And then they'll bring in a mediator from the League of Minnesota Cities to try to see if the council members can't work through some of their differences here. And the issues that were raised against the mayor, I mean, one of them related to comments he had made regarding a city employee prior to being installed as mayor. It was after he had been voted in, but he was still just mayor-elect at the time. You know, and whatever comments he might have made did not appear to have any real substance, so I don't think that was going anywhere. But a new allegation did come up here just recently, alleging that the mayor had leaked inside information from a closed meeting to the Timberjay. We can confirm that that allegation is 100% false, so I don't know that that one would be going anywhere either. But this is the kind of stuff that this group that is opposed to the mayor and has been in charge at City Hall for a while, this is the kind of stuff they're throwing up there. In the meantime, there are questions and allegations centering around the city clerk treasurer, and I know the council has now, in the last two council meetings, has had closed sessions to talk about some of those issues. We haven't seen any results from that yet. The council has been closed-mouthed, as I think they're supposed to be, about what they're looking into there. But, of course, now, you know, recently we had reported on some of the things that we had found out about the clerk, including her falsifying city records in a number of cases in order to change the terms of people who are on city commissions and committees. That actually included her falsifying my term on one of those commissions, actually the Economic Development Authority for the city. So there's a lot of things right now that are kind of percolating out there, and it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. My guess is the mediation effort will probably have some success, I would hope. And then as far as the allegations circling around the city clerk, it'll probably take some time to see how that all plays out.
Is that the city clerk treasurer position, is that an elected position?
No, that's an appointed position.
Okay.
And she is currently represented by the Teamsters. So it's a union position, which also complicates the situation a lot. And her union representative has been there at the last two or three meetings. At this most recent city council meeting, he read an excerpt of a letter from a law firm that's working for the union, and he threatened the new mayor with possible legal action, and he accused him of leaking information to the Timberjay. Which, as I mentioned earlier, is not the case.
Okay. Well, we'll hear more about that one next week, I bet you.
Yeah, probably.
All right, let's get another update, this time on the missing Environmental Protection Agency comments on the permit for PolyMet.
Yes, this week Congresswoman McCollum did send a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency head, the new head, and demanding release of these comments, that it appears these comments were actually produced by Environmental Protection Agency staff, and that they did raise some concerns about the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's permit for the PolyMet project, particularly the water discharge permit. Apparently, the EPA staff did relay some of those concerns in a phone call to the MPCA, and actually it was through some handwritten notes that some MPCA officials had taken that an environmental group gained access to through a Data Practices Act that allowed, or sort of that tipped the hand that the EPA, in fact, did have some concerns yet. And in those notes, it did indicate that they would be likely providing written comments expressing their concerns, but then those comments were never produced. And since that came out, there's been a retired EPA attorney has called for a investigation by the EPA's Inspector General. That attorney contends that sources within the agency are telling him that top officials within the EPA actually suppressed those comments on that MPCA permit. You know, obviously that raises some concerns about, you know, whether or not the Trump administration's EPA is giving too free a hand, I guess, to state regulators and possibly intentionally downplaying or overlooking possible violations of the Clean Water Act.
Wow, more drama.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, well, let's move on to another story you've been working on for the Timberjay. March 4th is the opening up of the Boundary Waters Reservation System, a little later than they expected. How are things going?
Well, we'll find out, I guess, on March 4th how it's going. The Forest Service, though, is saying that they're confident that the system will now work when it goes live on March 4th. They, had originally planned to go live and did briefly go live on January 30th and did not go well. They had a number of problems with the reservation system, and it basically crashed, and so they took it down and got a lot of flack from particularly resort owners and outfitters in the Ely area who were concerned because, you know, they do a lot of reservations for clients, so it's an important part of their business, and not being able to do these reservations has really left a lot of them pretty nervous. You know, I mean, the season is approaching, and they like to have that stuff kind of ironed out and know where they're sitting a little bit earlier than this. The Forest Service head indicated a week or so ago that they were looking at February 27th as the go-live date for this, but now they've since pushed that back. And I think they probably still had a few little bugs to work out and wanted to be sure that when it does go live this time that it actually will work. So we'll all be watching with great interest when that happens.
And finally, let's talk winter severity index in terms of white-tailed deer and what they're seeing out there because of this winter we're having.
Yes. Yeah, it's been lately anyway, it's been pretty severe for us as well. But DNR actually tracks, they have an index that they use to kind of gauge winter deer mortality. And the winter severity index is based on the number of days with a snow depth of 15 inches or greater and the number of days with a low temperature of zero or below. So we've been steadily racking those up. The first half of the winter actually had been pretty mild, and it had looked like we could have a relatively low winter severity index up until about that last week of January when somebody flipped the switch and we had real winter again. Since then, of course, we've had plenty of snow, which has meant that every day we're getting a point for snow depth, and it seems like almost every day we're getting a point for below zero as well. So that is, it's starting to really add up. And at this point in much of northeastern Minnesota, particularly up in like northern St. Louis, Lake County, and Cook County, we're starting to see some pretty significant winter index numbers of 110 to 120 in some cases. And that's generally considered about average for the entire winter, but of course we're not probably anywhere near the end of this winter at this point. We've got plenty of snow on the ground. According to the DNR, especially in northern Lake County, there's as much as 30 to 40 inches of snow on the ground right now, And so there's going to be they're going to be getting points, obviously, on the winter severity index for snow depth for quite some time to come. Looking at the extended forecast, I mean, it's like below zero every night for the next week. So we're still a long ways from kind of wrapping up this winter severity index. If it continues this way, and if we see deep snow into April, our local wildlife manager, Tom Rush, said there probably will be fairly significant deer mortality up here. So, what happens over the next really 4 or 5 weeks will probably tell the story here as to whether or not this is, a little bit above average in terms of winter severity, or if this is a really severe winter. And you have to get index readings up around 180 to be considered severe for here.
Okay. Marshall Helmberger, the Border News Roundup. You can read more, see photos at thetimberjay.com. Marshall, we'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.